Each Tuesday, Uncle Food's Diner serves hot meals in Ashland from 4 to 6 p.m. It also distributes excess donations to community partners and serves as a platform for emergency care. Joining the exchange to discuss this iconic local food program is Elizabeth Hallett from Peace House. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, take me back in time to when Uncle Food's Diner began.
Yes. I was there almost at the beginning of it. It was just after the end of the Gulf War, and Peace House was looking for something to do. And at the same time, we had teenagers who were either houseless or couch surfing because of bad situations in their homes. And a small program began, probably with about 8 to 15 kids. And that's when the program got named Uncle Food's Diner, because the kids decided on the name. It's a kind of a quirky name, but it gave them ownership in the name. And it was started by Kevin Priester, who was at the time the director at Peace House, and I came in directly after him. And we grew the program because there were people who heard that they were getting fed who were waiting outside and getting the kids to bring them food outside. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. Everybody needs food, and we don't want the kids to be used in that way. So we opened it up. And so the program expanded, and it also moved. It was being held up in the what is partly now the senior center, and we moved it down to Trinity Episcopal Church.
So where is the senior center?
On Home Street, and that program is about to get drastically cut, if you read the news, to about 2 days a week. We thought that it needed to be more centralized, and Trinity Church was generous enough to welcome us. And we were there for about 15 years. But the program, I was the cook. I got the food on Mondays, and we served it on, and we cooked on Tuesdays, and I did that for 2 years. Every Tuesday, just about, I felt weird the time they kicked me out and said, someone else has to do this now. So that was in the 90s. I'm dating myself, but I've been here for a while. And then the program grew to about 80, and I think it's sort of been between 80 and 100.
When you say 80 and 100.
80 people.
That come to
that came, yes.
Participate in the community meal each week?
Yes, on a weekly basis. We've been doing it for 31, almost 32 years.
And how do you do this? How many volunteers does it take to do this?
Well, it takes a lot of hands and a lot of love, a lot of big hearts. We do it partly through the donations of some foundations and a lot of local people who send donations that are specified for Uncle Food's Diner to Peace House. The food is gleaned by, as I think someone mentioned earlier, as I was listening, food angels. And also we get support from Shop and Cart and Market of Choice and the Emergency Food Bank and Food Unites. And they all channel food to us. It gets picked up. We are fortunate to have a van. And then the food is stored at the Methodist Church in their kitchen, and we cook it on Tuesdays. And then we have to transport it to where it's being served. It happens to be, again, at the Episcopal Church.
So just to be clear, you have all these volunteers who are getting the food, making sure it gets from its original place to its destination.
Right.
It's then some way it's getting processed, and then it gets onto a menu, and there are cooks who are preparing these meals.
Yeah.
And then they are feeding 80 to 100 people every week.
The process is after it's stored on Monday and it has to get sorted because it's not all in good condition. Then on Tuesday, our wonderful new chef, who's Curtis Paul, takes the ingredients and figures out what to make according to what he's got to work with. And he has maybe 9 to 12 volunteers that rotate through during the day and make the food with him. And then the food gets transported over to Trinity Church, and there's a whole other team of volunteers that might be, again, rotating people coming in to help serve the food. But it takes about 9 people on the line to serve a hot meal, complete with different proteins, vegetables, starches, and desserts.
So this is reminding me of those shows on the Food Network, HGTV, where they just give these chefs random ingredients,
yeah.
And they just make delicious food.
I'm sure it reminds Curtis of that every day. The genius with Curtis is that he also has a cafe over in Grants Pass called Agora. And he knows how to cook delicious food no matter what you give him. He's recently come to us, but every meal has been absolutely fantastic. And he has huge, great energy pushing into the food, too. So I feel that when I taste it.
It's a labor of love.
It's a labor of love, and that's why Curtis does it. He said he wanted to do something that was satisfying to him personally, well, as well as having his shop.
How did you find Curtis?
Well, on Indeed. We interviewed a lot of people, and he was the one who just really stood out for the big heart and for his skills, for his versatility, for his kindness. Peace House is based on the work of people like Martin Luther King and Thich Nhat Hanh. We're into having a mindful community that is compassionate. We want a culture of peace. These are all of the things that we try to live by and try to infuse into the work that we do.
My guest is Elizabeth Hallett from Peace House. We're talking about Uncle Food's Diner, which serves a free community meal each Tuesday in downtown Ashland. So, Elizabeth, tell me your story. Where'd you grow up and how'd you get here?
Well, one of the things about my story is that I come from a long line of ministers. And when I was about 8 years old, my father was working in Brazil. And I was exposed to an enormous amount of poverty. And one little boy named Sergio, who I'll never forget, sat in an orange crate, and he was 2 years old, and he couldn't walk, and he had spindly legs and a big belly. And I took him to my father, and I said, look, this isn't right. You know, we need to do something. It turned out that my father's church was able to begin a food program. So that was the imprint. That was the initial imprint. And then I grew up more in Ohio. I went to Miami University. I studied American studies. I was against the war during Vietnam, and I am still against war. And it's tax day, folks, so think about this. And I came eventually to live in Ashland. I have a daughter, and her dad and I moved up here when she was just 5 months old. And I found Peace House. And that's just sort of a thumbnail sketch. But I think my heart has always been into working with people in a compassionate community and promoting care. That's the thing that a beloved community, as Martin Luther King and Thich Nhat Hanh would say, yes, is where we want to go. This other stuff, half of our national income, our taxes being paid for war, is not feasible. It's not sustainable, and we need to recognize that, and we need to push back.
And so from the faith community, this generosity reaches the community, and it started with feeding the kids.
That's right. Yeah.
So you do more than that. When people come to Uncle Food's Diner, they get more than just fed. But, there's health issues, there's mental health issues, there's physical issues. How does that impact the work that you do?
Well, right now, since we've just newly been invited back to Trinity Church after a long hiatus where we were actually serving food outside for about along with Jason and Vanessa and other people, because we didn't have a home, we're just now grounded at Trinity, and we are going to be getting more services in from Access. There will be at least referrals. Access can be there to help people to connect with other services. There was a time where we were involved with La Clinica and also with other services, but we've had to pull that back for right now.
How do you deal with food allergies?
Well, actually, Curtis has experience with that, and we have... we just have a variety of food there so that people know, and it's listed what is in the food. And so there's enough variety there that if somebody has an allergy, they can pick and choose.
Okay. So how do people even know about Uncle Food's Diner? How do you get the word out?
Well, you know how word travels on the street. And we have a website, and we have people that refer, and we have an office. People can call and ask us. The hours are actually more like 4 to 5:30, just in case anyone's listening. Don't try to come. Don't expect that there's going to be a lot of food after 5:30. It's better to get there earlier.
Okay, and that's mm-hmm. every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. And what's the location?
At Trinity Church, and you enter through the alley that goes to the parking lot nearby, behind the church.
So we were talking earlier about federal funding cuts and also the stock market plummeting. How has that affected what you do?
Well, it's affected us in a lot of ways. I think that one way is that we're having less donations from our usual donors right now. People are pulled back. Maybe it's because of taxes, but I think it's probably more than that. And when I talk to the nonprofits like Oregon Community Foundation or Cow Creek Umpqua Indian Foundation, they tell me that they've been planning for this and they're dreading it. They don't know how much they're going to be able to give. So the way it's going to affect us is the way it's going to affect them. They won't be able to support us as much with foundation funding. And, of course, local people in the community are also pulling back. Nobody knows how they're going to be sustainable themselves at times, even as a nonprofit. So that's the way it's affecting us.
The people you serve, are you seeing that that's steady, or is it increasing or decreasing?
I'd say it's increasing, and I'm sort of bracing for it to be more.
And what are your plans? What are the contingency plans?
Well, we'll continue to do our grant writing. We'll continue to be out in the community. I think that other people also need to plan to maybe eat a little less and give a little more. And I think that nobody knows the answer to your question, honestly.
Right. Yeah. But we have a robust faith community throughout this region.
Right.
There's a good network of churches. What are you hearing from them?
Well, everybody's been stressed for a long time. I mean, and the faith communities have been great about picking up and supporting. But it's also true that it shouldn't have to fall on the faith communities. There should be governmental support for this because of the taxes that we pay.
Okay, we'll have to leave that as the last word.
All right.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you, too.